to what's being described as a new frontier in New Zealand's aquaculture industry, open ocean farming. As a result of growing demand and because of climate change in some cases, a shift is being seen in various parts of the world in aquaculture, from farming in sheltered waterways to out in the open seas. How viable is it here? With this change, new engineering and farming approaches are being developed. What are the possible economic impacts and other impacts of open aquaculture in New Zealand, and what is happening already? To discuss, aquaculture specialist Kevin Heisman from the Cawthron Institute. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning, Catherine. How are you this morning?
Good, thank you. And also with us, I think, Mike Mandino from the fishing company Sandford. Hello, Mike.
Good morning, Catherine.
Could we start, please, with Kevin? You're holding a conference, I think, on the subject later this year, in fact, next month. Where's it at the moment in New Zealand?
Yeah, so the conference is being held here in Nelson in the beginning of August. We're bringing in specialists from around the world to discuss what's happening around the world, and we've got local specialists and industry members who will discuss what's happening here in New Zealand, and hopefully we'll be able to discuss a lot of the challenges, the successes, and where we want to go.
What is happening in places where open ocean aquaculture is underway?
In New Zealand?
Well, anywhere. Just explain where it is happening and what it involves.
Okay, open ocean aquaculture. In some respects, we'd like to use the term exposed ocean because it's where you under large waves, lots of energy, and so that can just be simply 2 kilometres from the coast. So it's exposed areas that people are progressing into. And this is, I just want to add that it's an extension of aquaculture. It's not a replacement of inshore aquaculture. And people around the world are looking at getting into a lot of seaweed, shellfish. Shellfish is, you know, is very strong in New Zealand. And, of course, finfish. So it's happening in Europe, the States. It's very, very big in Asia and the Asian countries. And predominantly in shellfish and seaweed.
Is it happening at all in New Zealand in a commercial sense yet?
It is sort of pre-commercial. There is some progress being made. There's a farm site in the Bay of Plenty where they have got lines out and are producing mussels. They're doing quite well out there. And then there's also a farm in Pegasus Bay, which Mike can speak to. And there's a couple of other small sites around. Those are more sort of experimental early stage.
I think I may have done an interview recently where there are some objections underway under one proposal, objections underway from local residents. So I'm not sure if that is open ocean. I suspect it might be. It is something we'll try and clarify during the course of the interview. So really the only definition is about 2 kilometres or more out to sea, and are there significant conditions needed? For example, if you're going into some parts of the open ocean, I would imagine it would be quite difficult in certain conditions to be tending to the farm or for the farm to be functioning without damage. Are you looking for a particular ocean conditions that prevail in some parts of the country and not others, or is that not relevant?
Conditions are very relevant. I think going into each site is going to have its own specifics, but we can develop equipment which will provide a baseline on which things can be varied according to site. And so, yes, conditions are very, very important.
Large swells, for example, would not be helpful to people working out there, but also, I imagine, would carry their own risks to damaging equipment.
Yes, quite so. So equipment you go out there which is used for the culture of whatever organism you're culturing will have to be robust enough to be able to take those conditions and the large storms that perhaps come through. But there's also what we're trying to, and what people around the world are looking at, and what Cawthron is looking at, is trying to look at to develop automation and the means to assess things from the shore to reduce the amount effort that you have to spend or time that you have to spend on the farm. It becomes, you know, that way we can not only reduce the footprint, but also reduce risk and the extra vessels and so on and so forth going out to check on things.
Well, speaking of vessels, what would this mean for other maritime traffic?
It's most of the, or all the structures that go in have to have a pre-navigational clearance, and they have to be marked, and they go onto maps and things. I know that there are some people, at the symposium, there's we've got attendees from the Navy who I'm assuming would be interested in that sort of aspect as well. But yes, this is not something that's hidden away. They have lights on them, they are demarcated, they go onto charts, and if they're in an area where there is a fair amount of shipping, well, you probably wouldn't be able to get an area if there's a huge amount of traffic to farm anyway. So it's all considered, I think, prior to actually putting a farm in.
Why do it? Is it just about the fact we're running out of aquaculture space? Is it about the kinds of objections I was just alluding to earlier? Or would it broaden the type of fish farming that could happen?
Cawthron's responding, we're responding to the industry demands and the movement into offshore, which does come from a combination of things. There's social license inshore, which is increasing around the world, and therefore one is looking for space further out, which is not so congested and influenced from anthropogenic influences. There's also there's the oceanographics or water chemistries and temperatures and things like that are more consistent out there than they are in an inshore area, so it offers opportunity with different species, more uniformity, and less, I suppose, influence on your animals.
In the case of New Zealand King Salmon, for example, wanting to relocate their existing Tory Channel Marlborough Sounds aquaculture to the outer sounds, is this another reason why you might be looking at this? It is intense, it's an intensive form of farming, aquaculture. There has been plenty of environmental concern raised about the long-term impact of that location. And is this another way of trying to intensify or increase the volume of what is possible?
I think, well, I can't obviously speak for New Zealand King Salmon. They're going to be they're going to be progressing down the route that they want to follow. We've got at Cawthron, we are aware of some of the obviously the environmental impacts and things like that of ocean farming, and there are a number of scientists here who work on that, as there are around the world, and we'll be bringing people in from into the symposium to actually bring their knowledge to this. So it doesn't necessarily have to be considered a very intensive farming period. There's a lot of space out there. And so,
well, there's more space in the open ocean than there is in the Marlborough Sounds, right? Especially the inner sounds. So
yes,
is this one of the things, as I said, it would open up areas where we may be reaching capacity now in some of the inshore, and it perhaps is also an acknowledgement of some of the environmental impacts.
I think it opens up new space. that's quite correct. And because there's more space out there, one can farm sustainably, and it's easier. You know, within a confined space, your imprint, your footprint is increased. But if going out into the open ocean, you can utilize more space and have lesser of an impact. I think to go into the actual all the ins and outs of environmental impact within an open ocean, well, within any farming scenario, is a very long discussion. But one of the benefits that we have is that a lot of these issues have been identified, and a lot of people are working on them to mitigate them. And so we can take that knowledge and we can share it again at the symposium and move out there with this knowledge and mitigate as much as possible any issues that are arising.
All right. Do you have industry partners in this, by the way? I'm coming to Sanford at the moment, but who in the industry is most interested in, already is, or is most interested in doing open ocean?
We have a MBIE-supported fund looking at shellfish and seaweed here at Cawthron. And we have three partners in that program. One is Sanford, one is Whakatoia Mussels in the Bay of Plenty, and the other is Kono. It's an EWE-owned company here at in Nelson. And so, yes, we work with people in this field. There are other researchers at Cawthron who work on various aspects with other EWE. And companies who are keen to investigate this. But those are our three main partners in the program at the moment.
Thank you. Kevin Heisman of Cawthron listening in. Mike Mandino from the fishing company Sanford. Welcome back again, Mike. Is Sanford already doing some open ocean fishing? Aquaculture, rather.
Yes, we are, Catherine. So we've got a small site in Pegasus Bay, which is in that bight just north of the Canterbury Peninsula. We've got about 12 lines installed there that we're actively farming.
And what are you farming there?
Oh, we're farming green shell mussels there. That's all that's consented for that site. And yes, we're farming mussels there.
How far offshore?
It's about 15 nautical miles from Littleton Heads. So you steam out of Littleton Harbour, you leave the heads, and from that point it's about 1.5 hours to the farm, and you're through open ocean that whole way.
So it's a reasonable distance out, actually, isn't it?
It is. Our vessels are, you know, they're not rocket ships. They do about sort of 10 miles an hour, but yeah, it's a reasonable distance.
Is there an issue with it being in or near shipping lanes? How have you gone through all the stuff I was outlining with Kevin there about navigation?
Oh, sure. Absolutely. So there's massive constraint mapping exercise at the time the farm was applied for, and it's outside the shipping lane.
Inside or outside? It's beyond the shipping
outside.
Lane.
It's not beyond, in the shipping lane.
It's beyond it, though. It's further from the coast.
It's off to one side of the shipping lane.
I see. Okay. What do you see as the potential?
Well, I guess the potential is, you know, if you look at aquaculture, it's a great option for clean, green, delicious protein. Mussels are, you know, extremely low-carbon food. And so New Zealand should really be looking at it as an opportunity, and we should be doing more of it. It's about jobs and about exports and about great, healthy food.
So is there a constraint now on the inshore industry having further growth?
There's absolutely no doubt that it's difficult to grow inshore. I mean, we do a lot of farming in that sort of shelter border environment. We're very good at it. We have mussels at several sites around New Zealand, salmon in Big Glory Bay and Stewart Island. There's no doubt that it is a little bit difficult to get space, but for us, the Pegasus site is about geographical diversity. It's about spreading our operation around, and it gives us more options to deal with those challenges that Mother Nature likes to throw at us.
Where in the country would you see the most potential?
Well, we're kind of focused on the Pegasus site. That's where there's the most potential for us. There's other space that's recently been consented in Golden Bay. That's another area of focus for us. So those would be the top two on my list.
Are there limitations on what's possible here? I know I've seen reference to the possibility of farming some of our most popular fish. Salmon, obviously, is already farmed. But snapper, kingfish, others, perhaps some of those that people are worried about, the sustainability or otherwise of how they are being fished commercially and recreationally. Is there significant potential there, or is the main growth potential more space for some of our top products?
I think in the short term, it's easier to go into an environment that's challenging and do what you know well. And so for us at the moment, we've got a small open ocean mussel farm site, and that's enough of a development opportunity at the moment and enough of a learning opportunity. Going into a new species in a new environment, I think that would be challenging.
Do people need to keep realistic about the challenges of this kind of an operation? Distance from shore, as we've said, the ocean conditions themselves, and all the various complications. Do people need to keep their heads about the possible size of such an industry?
Absolutely. And look, there's no doubt that it's an exciting opportunity, open ocean aquaculture. It's also a huge challenge. The distance per se isn't such a big deal. I mean, if I leave our site in Havelock, which is at the head of the Pleura Sound, it can be a 54-kilometre steam out to some of our farms. So the distance itself isn't a big deal. It's about the open ocean conditions. And there's no doubt that those conditions make farming challenging, and they make it very challenging for it to be economically viable. And we would say it isn't yet economically viable in those open ocean sites, but we're excited to keep learning and see how it develops.
What of the potential of seaweed? I'm not sure if it's a particular product of interest to a fishing company, but there certainly is a lot of buzz around the potential for commercial seaweed growing and the interest you may get in some markets. Is anyone looking into that?
People are looking at seafood. I mean, Sanford's, I'd say, first and foremost, is a seafood company, and we're about producing great quality, high value seafood. So if seaweed pump plugs into that, then absolutely no problem, we'd have a look at it. But I think the crucial thing there is finding value or a high value component in seaweed. If you're talking about farming seaweed at sort of bulk commodity scale, then I think that's an area where New Zealand would struggle to compete with some of the other countries that are doing that at very low cost.
We also mentioned the question of environmental impacts and pollution inshore, and in some cases at least that has been a very high profile matter. Is another attraction of open ocean aquaculture the obvious wider distribution of environmental impacts?
Well, mussel farming is pretty low intensity activity anyway. The attraction is of the aquaculture and the open ocean is really just that you can get more space and you can undertake the activity.
Thank you, Mike. And last word back to you, Kevin Heisman of Cawthron. Have you had any interest or are people showing interest in commercial seaweed?
There has been some interest in commercial seaweed. As Mike said, there's no point in us trying to produce something very, very low value and trying to compete with Asia. The commercial seaweed, I think, avenues that we have to progress down are where producing seaweeds which have extracts which might be medicinal or nutraceutical or some other industrial.
So use. They wouldn't be natives. They would have to be planted, in effect, would they?
Oh, there's every likelihood it'd be a native. I think the focus is on natives at the moment. You know, there's something like 700 species of seaweed in New Zealand. There's got to be something in there that we can use. And it's a matter of finding it, identifying it, looking at the biology of the actual seaweed, see how it can reproduce it, spawn it, look at its culture methods, requirements, and test it out.
Thanks, both of you. So it's early next month, isn't it, that symposium? Thank you very much for coming to talk to us about it. Kevin Heisman from Cawthron Institute and Mike Mandino from the fishing company Sanford.